Today is the 13th day of March. Welcome, 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 welcome back to the Daily Audio Bible. Welcome back around the global campfire. I am Brian. It is fantastic to be here with you today. Wonderful to be able to gather again around this global campfire, our safe place as we move our way toward the end of another week. Grateful to be here with you today, grateful for the time that we get to spend each day, and grateful for the next step forward, which leads us back into the book of Numbers before we begin the third gospel, the Gospel of Luke in the New Testament. But we'll talk about that when we get there. First, Numbers chapters 19 and 20. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, "This is the statute of the law that the Lord has commanded. Tell the people of Israel to bring you a red heifer without defect, in which there is no blemish, and on which a yoke has never come. And you shall give it to Eleazar the priest, and it shall be taken outside the camp and slaughtered before him. And Eleazar the priest shall take some of its blood with his finger, and sprinkle some of its blood toward the front of the tent of meeting 7 times. And the heifer shall be burned in his sight. Its skin, its flesh, and its blood, with its dung, shall be burned. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet yarn, and throw them into the fire, burning the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterward he may come into the camp. But the priest shall be unclean until evening. The one who burns the heifer shall wash his clothes in water and bathe his body in water, and shall be unclean until evening. And a man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and deposit them outside the camp in a clean place. And they shall be kept for the water for impurity for the congregation of the people of Israel. It is a sin offering. And the one who gathers the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. And this shall be a perpetual statute for the people of Israel, and for the stranger who sojourns among them. Whoever touches the dead body of any person shall be unclean 7 days. He shall cleanse himself with the water on the 3rd day and on the 7th day, and so be clean. But if he does not cleanse himself on the 3rd day and on the 7th day, he will not become clean. Whoever touches a dead person, the body of anyone who has died, and does not cleanse himself, defiles the tabernacle of the Lord, and that person shall be cut off from Israel, because the water for impurity was not thrown on him. He shall be unclean. His uncleanness is still on him." This is the law when someone dies in a tent. Everyone who comes into the tent, and everyone who is in the tent, shall be unclean 7 days. And every open vessel that has no cover fastened on it is unclean. Whoever in the open field touches someone who was killed with a sword, or who died naturally, or touches a human bone or a grave, shall be unclean 7 days. For the unclean, they shall take some ashes of the burnt sin offering, and fresh water shall be added in a vessel. Then a clean person shall take hyssop and dip it in the water and sprinkle it on the tent, and on all the furnishings, and on the persons who were there, and on whoever touched the bone, or the slain, or the dead, or the grave. And the clean person shall sprinkle it on the unclean on the 3rd day and on the 7th day. Thus, on the 7th day he shall cleanse him, and he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water, and at evening he shall be clean. If the man who is unclean does not cleanse himself, that person shall be cut off from the midst of the assembly, since he has defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. Because the water for the impurity has not been thrown on him, he is unclean. and it shall be a statute forever for them. The one who sprinkles the water for impurity shall wash his clothes, and the one who touches the water for impurity shall be unclean until evening. And whatever the unclean person touches shall be unclean, and anyone who touches it shall be unclean until evening. And the people of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. Now, there was no water for the congregation, and they assembled themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Would that we had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord. Why have you brought the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness, that we should die here, both we and our cattle? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is no place for grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink." And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. So you shall bring water out of the rock for them, and give drink to the congregation and their cattle." And Moses took the staff from before the Lord, as he commanded him. Then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their livestock. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe in me, to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them. These are the waters of Meribah, where the people of Israel quarreled with the Lord, and through them he showed himself holy." Moses sent messengers from Kadesh to the king of Edom. "Thus says your brother Israel, you know all the hardship that we have met, how our fathers went down to Egypt, and we lived in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians dealt harshly with us and our fathers. And when we cried to the Lord, he heard our voice and sent an angel and brought us out of Egypt. And here we are in Kadesh, a city on the edge of your territory. Please let us pass through your land. We will not pass through field or vineyard or drink water from a well. We will go along the king's highway. We will not turn aside to the right hand or to the left until we have passed through your territory." But Edom said to him, "You shall not pass through, lest I come out with the sword against you." And the people of Israel said to him, "We will go up by the highway, and if we drink of your water, I and my livestock, then I will pay for it. Let me only pass through on foot, nothing more." But he said, "You shall not pass through." And Edom came out against them with a large army and with a strong force. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his territory. So Israel turned away from him. And they journeyed from Kadesh, and the people of Israel, the whole congregation, came to Mount Hor. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron at Mount Hor, on the border of the land of Edom, "Let Aaron be gathered to his people, for he shall not enter the land that I have given to the people of Israel, because you rebelled against my command at the waters of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son, and bring them up to Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments and put them on Eleazar his son. And Aaron shall be gathered to his people and shall die there." Moses did as the Lord commanded, and they went up Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and put them on Eleazar his son. And Aaron died there on the top of the mountain. Then Moses and Eleazar came down from the mountain. And when all the congregation saw that Aaron had perished, all the house of Israel wept for Aaron 30 days. Okay, so in the New Testament, we have concluded the first two Gospels, Matthew and Mark, which brings us to the threshold of the third Gospel, the final of the Synoptic Gospels, the Gospel of Luke. And Luke has a little more intriguing story regarding its place in history. So the Synoptic Gospels are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They're called the Synoptic Gospels because they're very similar in their composition, written for different audiences, but definitely drawing on all of the same material. Very similar in the way they're laid out and the stories they tell about Jesus. So similar, in fact, that it's widely believed that one could not exist without the other, and the first of them being the Gospel of Mark. Even though they're written at different times, they were used as source material for each other. The book of Luke is largely believed to be kind of the tightest and concisest, the best written in form and language, the best flowing narrative, with largely the most detail. Scholarly opinion is that Luke not only wrote the book of Luke, but also wrote the book of Acts, and that is widely accepted. And it gets intriguing here about the Synoptic Gospels. Pretty much all leading scholars believe the Gospel of Mark is the first of the Synoptic Gospels, and then Matthew, and then Luke, and they both borrowed some of the source material from Mark as they're writing the history of the Gospel of Jesus. And then there is a pretty long-running scholarly opinion that refers, and this is an opinion because it's never been found, but that refers to a source that is lost, that would be a text that is called Q. And the speculation is it's not a narrative on the life of Jesus, but rather a collection of all the sayings that anyone who actually heard Jesus could remember. And this supposed text is thought to have provided some of the source material for all of the Synoptic Gospels. And then that theory explains why Matthew, Mark, and Luke have so many of the same stories with exactly the same phrasing. That's speculation, but it's widely held. There's no way to know this for certain. We don't have that text. The arguments for something like that to have existed are compelling. They're legitimate from a scholarship perspective. So because of all this, placing the Gospel of Luke in history is one of the things that have been up for debate. Luke, as well as Acts, were written to a man named Theophilus. And there have been some Theophiluses throughout history, and so that brings up speculation and debate over it. The most accepted is that Luke is a later gospel than Mark and Matthew. And that largely is because of the tightness of the manuscript. It reads as if some time has passed and some theology and tradition has been set in place in order for the early accounts of Jesus' life to be put into context. So Luke, different than Matthew, like Matthew is written to a Jewish audience, Luke is written to a Gentile audience, and it shows the Gospel of Jesus is inclusive. It's not an add-on or an adjunct to the Jewish-only religion of Judaism. It is for everyone in the world who believes. So it includes the whole world and welcomes everyone who believes into the family of God. And so with that, we begin the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 25. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as priest before God when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people." Psalm 56. In God I trust. To the choir master, according to the dove on far-off terebinths, a miktam of David, when the Philistines seized him in Gath. Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me. All day long an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? All day long they injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps as they have waited for my life. For their crime, will they escape? In wrath, cast down the peoples, O God. You have kept count of my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God whose word I praise. In the Lord whose word I praise. In God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you, for you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. Proverbs 11:8. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and the wicked walks into it instead. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for every step, every chapter, every verse that we have traveled thus far into this year. Thank you for bringing us into the Gospel of Luke. And as we traverse this territory again, Holy Spirit, come, lead us deeper into Jesus. Lead us to know this beautiful Savior that loves us beyond comprehension. Lead us to understand the teachings and the footsteps that we must walk. Lead us into all truth, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app, these are home base. This is where you get connected and stay connected in any number of ways. The community section is where to get connected on social media. It's where the prayer wall lives. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are resources there for the journey that we are on. Everything from things to wear to deep dives into different topics that are in written form, to the Promised Land coffee table book with beautiful pictures of the land of the Bible, and on and on. So check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. You can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. Or if you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or if you prefer, the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I am Brian, and I love you, and I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hey, DAB, this is Maranatha Matt. It is Saturday, March 6th, and I would just like to request prayer for my father-in-law. His name is Mark. My wife and I, we're not really sure where he stands with the Lord. He would identify as a Christian, but There's just not much, if any, fruit in his life to indicate that he has true saving faith or is born again. He's also very resistant to any type of spiritual conversation or any attempt to talk about Jesus or the Bible. He shuts down those conversations very quickly, so it's just hard to get a read on where he stands. My wife is going to be visiting next week and spending some time with him. So if y'all could just pray that the Lord would open a door for her to have a spiritual conversation with him and that it would be well received. And just pray that the Lord would reveal himself to him, and he would soften his heart and open his eyes, and just that Mark would be born again and would be saved. If y'all could pray for that, that would be very, very much appreciated. So thank you. Thank you all, and Maranatha.
This is from Junk to Treasure, and we'll pray for some more requests from this past week for Heidi in Wisconsin, who was let go of her job because of talking about her faith. Lord, we come before you and ask for a new position. Open up for her quickly, that employers will seek her out, that her position will be better, her pay will be better, her bonuses will be better than what she had before because of her faithfulness to you. For Ty, who is suffering with anxiety, Lord, you know all of the reasons that contribute to this anxiety, and we ask you to step into this situation and make the path smooth and straight for him, that he has reprieve from all of the things that cause the anxiety, that you will walk with him and you will lift him up and be with him. And God's smile is suffering with severe pain again. Peter made a post on the DAB Friends page yesterday, and we lift her up to the throne of grace, Lord. She has suffered for so long with this pain. So, Father, go to the point of what is causing the pain with your mighty hands and power, and touch that place or multiple places and heal it, fully heal it, Father God, so that she may live a productive life without pain. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray and we believe and we thank you for the miracles. Amen and amen.
Hello, this is DR in Florida. Father God, your name is great and greatly to be praised. Magnify your name in all the earth. We sacrifice a thanks offering to you, and help us to order our conduct. Show us your salvation. Thank you, Father, that Brian and Jill and Ezekiel are back home and safe. Please refresh their spirit, soul, and body. We also thank you for the praise report Jackson's mom, Ashley, gave about him completing his treatment, and he's about to ring the bell. Thank you for Father God for sustaining him during this process. Praise the Lord. And we ask you for complete restoration of his body in Jesus' name. Also want to pray for Jesse, who has some kind of head pressure and breathing problems that makes it difficult for him to stand, and he is not able to work. Father, we pray for clarity and healing for his body. Please give the doctors wisdom for the correct treatment for him, and restore his body also to complete health. In Jesus' name, amen.
Fearfully and wonderfully made. This is God's Life Speaker. It is the 7th of March. I am on the community prayers of February 14th, and you're describing your son and how he shaved his hair and his beard. And he said, Mom, look at me. I'm a new person. That just was so beautiful. Yes, prayer is what it's going to take for our children from us and a community of believers. My story is that I have gone back through journals, and I usually go back at the end of every year. I go back and I see that there's a couple of themes that I was missing through the year, or was getting very slowly, but I have gone all the way back to the very first journals I've kept, and I have written over things that I might have said as not a believer or as a new believer, word cursings or judgments over my son, not knowing better. And I have written new prayers beside those, and they have been powerful, and we are seeing some changes. So yes, we will continue to pray for you and your son and all of those kids that are out there that need the Lord, that need to come back, that need praying parents and the community that prays for them. So Heavenly Father, thank you for Fearfully and Wonderfully Made and her testimony about her son. We continue to pray for him to come higher, to know you, to walk with you and be led by the Spirit. And we pray that over each one of our children and those that have grandchildren. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.